You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. In today's message, Pastor Sten shares about our upcoming partnership with Together for Good, an organization providing relational support and wraparound care so that no family walks alone. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram.
Kids love to create competitions together. They square off head-to-head in some kind of skill or task or activity, and then they want my wife, Erica, and me to be the judge. This happens all the time in our house. Actually, just happened the other day as we were all hanging out together. Happens all the time with us. Happens even more so when my kids are with their cousins. They each take turns, you know, doing like jumps off the dock, or they'll create some kind of like, you know, talent show where each kid gets 15 seconds to do a little dance move or a special talent. And all the adults have to sit around, watch, and judge, right? And the kids could do this for hours, constantly trying to outdo the other, kids in the competition. And every time they're adamant, every time these competitions take place, they're adamant with us as the judges that there can be no ties. We have to pick a winner. Okay, anyone seen this happen with kids before? Okay, a couple heads nod, and not just me. Okay, why in the world do I share this with you? Well, oftentimes, I'll be honest with you, oftentimes I find it helpful to tell stories from everyday life that provide some sort of springboard then to talk about matters in our spiritual life. And I'm kind of doing that today, but I need to be careful because I don't want to give you the idea that our spiritual life is a competition, because it's not, okay? But at the same time, this conversation brings to my mind an interesting idea, an interesting thought. Ultimately, it brings to mind an interesting passage of scripture from the New Testament book of Romans. One of the leaders in the first ever church, they call it the early church. One of the leaders in that whole movement, his name is Paul. He wrote a letter to Christians in the city of Rome who were just learning what it means to follow Jesus. And here's what he wrote to them. He says, "Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." Okay, now if you read any books or study what Bible scholars have to say about this, you will learn that Paul writes this with the intention of teaching these new Christians that love is not an emotion, but rather it's a mindset, and it's an attitude of love. And what he's trying to convey is that an attitude or a mindset or a decision to be loving will result in actions that are full of love. And so Paul writes to them, he tells them, and ultimately he tells us to outdo one another. Outdo one another with this kind of love and this kind of honor in the name of Jesus. A paraphrased version of the Bible for this verse says, practice playing second fiddle. I like that, right? Playing second fiddle is an expression used today to talk about how we serve others, and how we put others first, and how we put ourselves and our needs second to theirs. Outdo, he says, outdo one another. Now, let me be clear that this is still not advocating for competition. Okay, it's not advocating for winners and losers, not advocating for, who did it better or who did it best. But it does raise the question in my mind, what does this look like to outdo one another? Or maybe here's a better set of questions. How is loving and how is serving in the name of Jesus even measured in the first place? I mean, how do we know that we're getting it right? Or how do we know if we're getting it wrong or if we're, somewhere in between? How do we know? How do we know if we are truly following or serving Jesus in the greatest possible way? How do we know? Okay, if you've ever asked that question before, or if you are asking that question now because I just raised that question and now you'd like the answer to it, then I'm glad you're here. Because today, what I want to try to do to the best of my ability, I want to do my best to try to answer those questions for you. I want to us all to get a glimpse of how it is that we might be evaluated when it comes to loving and when it comes to serving in the name of Jesus. To do so, I want us all to turn our attention to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew was actually just a follower of Jesus who wrote down his experiences following Jesus, and that's how we got the book of Matthew. And that's ultimately what we're going to be looking at, Matthew chapter 25. Before we get to those words that Jesus spoke there, what I want us to consider. Before we get there, let me just set the scene. What we refer to in the church as the triumphal entry, that is the day 1 week prior to what would eventually be Easter Sunday. It's the day that Jesus came riding into town on a donkey. The week that followed that led up to Easter is referred to as Holy Week, okay? According to the traditional records of Holy Week, Jesus spent that Tuesday morning at the temple. And then he spent the afternoon with his disciples discussing the future that lay, that had ahead of them, okay? A future that Jesus knew would not include him. And so he's with them and he's teaching them important lessons about life in the kingdom. He's teaching them about and talking to them about the day that he will return again. And he makes a promise of the rewards that will be given out that day. And he also makes a warning about how some will be received that day as well. And so he's talking to his crew there. He says, hey, I'm going away, but when I return, and he's being really straightforward to them, he's saying, all of you, all of humanity will be kind of evaluated and will be divided into two groups. One group to the right, which is typically associated with a place of honor in that day, and one group to the left. And then Jesus says, hey, to those of you on the right, the king will say, hey, kudos to you all, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. And Jesus says that the people on the right will say, Lord, when did we ever see you in any kind of situation like that? He's saying that the people on the right will say, I don't think we ever saw you hungry or ever saw you thirsty or ever saw you in need or in prison. Like, what are you talking about? And Jesus replies to them, I tell you the truth. When you did it, when you showed up, when you cared, when you gave, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. And then Jesus has the opposite conversation with those on the left. He says, gang, it ain't looking good for you at the moment. For I was hungry and I was thirsty and I was sick and I was in need and I was in prison and you didn't do anything for me. And the group on the left has the very same reaction as the group on the right. They're like, what? When did we ever see you like that? They're like, Lord, we would have never done you like that. Trust us. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Mid-Current Church, here's what I want to suggest to you today about your and my interest in serving and loving in the name of Jesus, about having the greatest possible impact that we could have. Here's what I want to suggest to you today, that the most significant act of service to Jesus is often the one that serves the least. The most significant, if that's what we want to be about, God, how do we know? How do we measure this deal? How do we know that we're having the greatest impact that we could? We've got to understand that the most significant act of our service to Jesus is often the one, it's often the action, it's often the work that serves the least. And that's not referring to the least amount of people or the least valuable kinds of people, whatever that means. Okay, the least of these was an expression used to point to the members of these new Jesus-following communities who had the greatest needs among them. And unfortunately, they were often the ones who were excluded from the very care and from the very support that they needed, as most of the attention was wrongfully diverted to more prominent members of the community. And so Jesus is saying, hey, gang, don't overlook. Don't turn these people away. He wants us to know that as his followers, right, that as followers of him, we are to care for each other, especially the least among us. One Bible scholar says that caring for those with the greatest needs within a faith community is the clinching evidence, he says, the clinching evidence of kingdom life. Friends, I would love for this to be the clinching piece of evidence of kingdom life for us. Collectively, for us as a church, I don't think that our most significant act and our most significant contribution to the kingdom of God, I don't think it depends on how large our church grows. And we're growing larger by the week, it seems like, which is amazing. And evidence that God is working here in huge ways. But I don't think our most significant act and our most significant contribution to the kingdom of God, I don't think it depends on how large our church grows. I don't think it depends on how, you know, big our budget grows. I don't think it depends on how much our programs go or how big of a building that maybe someday we have the opportunity to build. I do think it depends on how we serve the least and the last and the lost and the lonely and the vulnerable among us. And that's why I'm incredibly excited about the opportunity that is in front of us. An opportunity that, if I'm being honest with you, I've been kind of waiting for and hoping for since the day we started this thing 6 years ago. Incredibly excited for the opportunity that is in front of us. If you've been around for the last couple weeks or if you've been following us on social media, you will have noticed that we've been slowly introducing you to the new partnership that we are just about to form, and we're forming right now with an organization called Together for Good. Together for Good creates pathways for the local church to walk alongside vulnerable families in Christ-centered ministry, right? Together for Good creates pathways for us to love and to serve and to care for the least of these among us. You see, what happens in community like ours, whether we realize it or not, whether we see it or not, whether we experience it or not, whether we want to believe it to be true or not, what happens in communities just like ours is that families experience unexpected crisis every day. And when parents face crisis with no support system, they become vulnerable. And when a parent becomes vulnerable, their kids are at an increased risk of trauma or even separation from their families. And so local churches, in partnership with Together for Good, work together to ensure that vulnerable families and vulnerable children never walk alone. Now, you might have been hearing us describe this a little bit at a time over the last few weeks. And if you're interested, if you're saying, yeah, cool, but trying to put this all together, we want to do our best to try to give you a greater sense of the work that Together for Good does in partnership with local churches like ours. And so right now, I'd love to have you take a look at this short video.
My name is Shireen. My daughter's name is Divine. The best thing about being Divine's mom is being able to be there for her, being able to show her new things about the world. So this was last year, August. It wasn't a good summer day, but we decided we was going to the water park anyway. Here's a car out of the blue, but she was coming at a fast enough pace that the car hit me. Divine, she's fast. She was able to get across the street before me. And thank God it wasn't her that got hit.
When Shireen called me, she was in a desperate situation. She had just had emergency surgery, and the hospital was telling her that she needed to go to rehab for 6 to 8 weeks. All of her family lives in New York, so she had nowhere for Divine to go. And so the hospital at that point brought up foster care.
It was very scary. I didn't know what type of people my daughter would be staying with. I was also scared that I might not get my daughter back. So when I first heard about Together for Good, it was a big relief in the hospital, you know, to know that that was a better option. Nicole, she was a great host for Divine. Knowing she was with a good family really helped my healing process. It just helped me to focus on wanting to get better so that, you know, I could be home with her.
In addition to finding a host family for Divine, we were also able to pair Shireen with a parent advocate.
The parent advocate, it's a role that it was just particularly appealing to me, that it was mostly one of relationship with the intention of just being a friend.
Brenda, she feels like family in a way because she checks in with me, sends me either a verse out the Bible every day or a devotion. You know, she plays as a mother, as a sister, or a friend to me, and I like that. I began to ask her what church she went to and that I was interested in going to church, primarily because my daughter started going to church with Nicole, and I still wanted her to be a part of a church. She enjoys going to the kiddie church part of it. I enjoy church as well, you know. It's been better for my mental health. It is building my spirituality and bringing me closer to God.
Divine's birthday was in May. Our church volunteered to let us use the space, and they used one of their bounce houses. So we invited the kids from her Sunday school class. Everyone was so kind and generous. They brought gifts, had a great birthday cake, and just a lot of fun.
The last few birthdays was just me and her. So just having a new community, I have so much gratitude.
Shireen's story is a great example of how the church can come alongside a mom who is in a desperate situation with little to no support and provide a community where she feels that she belongs and she is known and she is loved. And that's what our heart's desire is at Together for Good, is that relationships would be built and moms and children and families would be folded into the body of Christ through the local church.
MidCurrent, what if this is what we became known for, right? What if this is the reputation that the local church developed among people in our communities who were in a desperate situation with little or no support, right? What if vulnerable people in our community experienced the church to be a community where they belonged? What if they experienced that the church was a place where they were known and where they were seen and where they were loved and cared for in real, physical, and tangible ways? Right, we want this to be true of us, and we want this to be what people experience from us as Jesus followers here in this community, which is why we are joining together with two other churches here in Hudson, Faith Community Church and Hill City Church, to bring Together for Good over the river to serve families here in western Wisconsin. And the goal is that together we would build a network of care right here that works to alleviate social isolation for families in crisis by providing for them practical help and relational support, both for parents and for their kids. And what that looks like specifically and what that will require of us as a church is three things. If you were here last Sunday, you heard PJ start to introduce this to us. But what it looks like and what it's going to require of us as a church is three things. Number one, it'll require respite care. We are going to need host families to raise their hand here at MidCurrent Church to open up their homes for short-term care of vulnerable kids, which gives parents a safe option for their kids when they are in crisis, whether it's the result of an accident or whether it's the result of health problems or recovery or job training or so on. We'll need families to raise their hands and to open their homes to kids in crisis. And number two, it's also going to require relational support of some of us, some of you here. As you saw in the video, Shireen had an advocate, a parent advocate, whose sole job as an advocate, their sole job is to walk alongside parents in crisis and to share hope and to share encouragement by simply being a friend. That might look like bringing a meal, it might be talking on the phone, it might be helping with a job application or offering, you know, prayer and daily encouragement. The third piece is this, it's wraparound care, right? Organized by all of us, or organized by, you know, us here at church with the help of our two Together for Good ministry coordinators, is Andrea Atherton and Hannah Arledge, both members of our lead team, right? Our wraparound care will include helping to meet physical needs that people have, such as transportation maybe or school supplies. It'll also include our support of host families who have opened their homes. It'll include our support of, you know, by providing them meals or diapers or car seats or babysitting or so on as they care for the kids who come their way. The reality is, I get this. This is maybe a lot to take in all at once, or as you've been taking it in bits and pieces over the last a few weeks. I get that. And so at this point, you may have some excitement and you may have some interest. You may also have some questions about all this. And so I want to let you know two ways that you can maybe begin to get some of those questions answered. Number one, we are incredibly honored to have with us today at church, Maridel Sandberg. Maridel is the founder and the president of Together for Good. And she is here today. She's been here all day, and she's going to be available to meet you and to answer questions that you might have or to talk more about Together for Good. She's got a little station set up at one of the high top tables just to the side of the welcome desk. And I know that she would be thrilled to talk with you more about Together for Good and about the work that they do and about the work that we are set to do here in Western Wisconsin. Number two, here's the second thing. We're hosting an informational meeting with all three church partners this Tuesday. I'll let you take your phone out right now if you need to and mark your calendars this Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at Faith Community Church. If you think you have even the slightest bit of interest or the slightest bit of excitement about partnering with Together for Good at MidCurrent, then please, please, please put this down in your calendar and be there with us. We are hoping to pack that place out. And I personally would love to see it packed out with a whole bunch of us, maybe wearing MidCurrent t-shirts and sweatshirts. Why? I don't want us to pack that place out because it's a competition between churches. It's not a competition. I don't want us to pack the place out because it will make us look good or it'll make me look good or because we'll win some prize for having the most people in attendance. There are no prizes. I do want to pack that place out because I really do believe that God is doing great things here among us. You have heard us saying this fall that we really do believe that we are in maybe the most momentous season in the life of our young church. And I also do believe that our most significant work as a church very well may be measured by how we serve the least of our brothers and sisters in crisis here in this community. And so I am hoping and praying that all of you, that all of us are ready to raise our hands in big ways or in small ways to come together for the good of those in our community who need us the most and those in our community who need the love of Christ that is inside of us the most. So right now, as we start to bring this to a close, right now I'm going to invite Brian and the band to join me back up here on stage. And in just a second, I'm going to close us in a word of prayer, and then the band is going to begin to play and sing one final song for us. In the words of this song, they'll be on the side screens, but I'll be honest with you, it's not necessarily a song that I am asking all of you to sing along with. It's a song that I hope will provide the backdrop for you. It's a song that I hope will provide a space for you to have a moment where you would ask God where he might want to use you in this work that we are doing together. And it's because of God's power that lives in us, gang. Same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's because of that very power that lives in us. And it's because we were first served, and because we were first loved, and because we were first lifted up when we did not deserve it. It's because of that that I hope the message of this song is the message that our community would soon be saying about the people of God at Midcurrent. I hope that it's the message of this final song that someone in this community would someday be saying about you. So let me pray for us. God, we do give you thanks that you did love us first, God. You first loved us. You first served us. You first lifted us up when we did not even deserve it. God, we want to be people who in turn do the very same thing for those around us, God. We want to be people who love and serve and lift up and care for those who need it the most. And so, God, right now in these next few moments, I'm praying that you would be speaking to us, each of us, God, as individuals, about where it is that you might be nudging us forward, God. I pray that you would be clear to us, God, about where you might be tapping us on the shoulder to raise our hand in a big way or in a small way or somewhere in between. It doesn't matter. It's going to take all of us to be in this together, God. So would you be clear to each of us about where it is that you might be tapping us on the shoulder to commit to this work that we want to do together for vulnerable families in our community. God, I really do believe that it could be the most significant work we do. God, you're doing amazing things here, and we're blown away by it. We're so grateful for the way that you are clearly on the move. And I really do believe, God, the best is yet to come. I just believe, too, that the greatest impact that we could have, the most significant work we could do, God, very well could be the work that we do for the least and the last and the lost and the lonely and the vulnerable among us. So God, in these next few moments, would you speak to us about where you are calling us to step forward, God, so that people in this very community would experience the support and the love and the care from us that they need the most. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Midcurrent Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings, both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m.